My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Monday minisode, you sure look fine. Friday, I got the maxisode on my mind because we normally record it on Fridays.
I would like to thank everyone who emailed, DM'd us, all of the above, with suggestions of songs that have the word Monday in them. It was truly very validating for me to know that some people care about this bit enough to enable me to keep going. So thank you, everyone.
Sweet. Yeah,
we got plenty of Mondays left before I run out of songs now.
Hells yes. Alrighty. Well, let's get into the sode. This mini-sode is based on the episode Blame It on the Alcohol.
Blame It on the Alcohol.
Ugh. So good. All right, let's get into it.
But first, stranger.
Me?
I've never met you before. What's your name?
Oh.
And what are you doing here? What's your relationship to this podcast?
That's so interesting. You ask, stranger. My name is Lena Knatzer. And the funny thing is I'm actually, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, I'm a mini Gleek. Do you know what that is?
What? I don't.
Mm.
What is that?
I guess you'll just have to find out. Who are you, stranger?
Well, Lena Canaster. Is it Canaster?
No.
Well, Lena Coaster, my name is Ian Allred. It's very nice to meet you. And I am something called a tiny Gleek, a compact Gleek.
I don't think I know what that is.
I think it's very different from your thing.
I think so.
I think they're two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that we've met, let's
Thank
hear what
God
people
we've
have
met.
To say.
Let's meet some more
people. Alcohol.
Let's first meet our dear friend of the podcast, Jen.
Hi, Lena and Ian. This is Jen. Any pronouns? It's been a while since I've sent you guys a message, but I was listening to Blame on the Alcohol, and I have something to tell you. I don't have it anymore. But I think I might have had tap glee. Okay. So it was a game, right? And it was basically like the piano tiles game, you know, but with glee songs. So you would like tap along to the beat of glee songs and like get scores based on that. But at the same time, it would like take you through the glee story and everything. And you would like win regionals and stuff. Oh my God. Very embarrassing to admit publicly. I had Tap Glee and played it avidly. So there you go. There you go.
Jen, I have some news for you, which is that I don't think you had Tap Tap Glee. I think you had an entirely different Glee-based app called Glee Forever. Because Tap Tap Glee was deactivated, is that the right word? I don't know. In like 2014, I think. And then when Glee started to go off the air in 2015, like when Glee was ending, they made the Glee Forever app. And it was kind of the same basic concept where you would have Glee songs and you would like play along. But the difference was Glee Forever took you through the storyline of Glee. So there are multiple tiers of Glee-based iPhone apps, everyone. And I do think
you're
that
freaking
Glee Forever,
my brain out.
I do think that Glee Forever sounds superior. So yeah. Congratulations, Jen. You did have the better of the two games.
Man.
There are so many Glee apps that you have to specify what app you were playing on.
It's not just the Glee app. It's which Glee app. Well, that's okay. Well, hear me out. On the sacred text, they reference Glee Forever like all the time. So maybe that's what that was.
Yeah, because sometimes they'll list a song and be like, this song was featured on Tap Tap Glee. And then sometimes they'll list a song and say, this was referenced on Glee Forever. They are, in fact, two different games that are essentially the same thing.
Man, and they're both essentially Guitar Hero for your fingers.
Yeah, and they both are just Guitar Hero ripoffs.
That is so funny. Jen, thanks so much for your message. Up next, we have an email from Miranda.
Morning, guys. I'm listening to the pod right now and hearing you discuss if the Hummels are rich or not. And I was shocked you forgot that Bert Hummel bought his son a brand new Escalade with spinning rims as his first car just to get him to stop wearing form-fitting sweaters that stop at the knee. The boy was a sophomore, and those cars cost like $75,000 at least. They're absolutely swimming in cash. Also, I did some digging on their house. We know that Kurt's house is already big in theatricality when Finn briefly moves in before the incident. Finn's mom describes the Hummel home as, quote, twice as big as ours with 2.5 bathrooms, end quote, while their house only has one. I still think it's strange that they're sharing the basement slash bedroom because I don't believe this house only has one real bedroom. But I'll give it a free pass because it's a plot device. Regardless, when Finn is unsure, Bert says, I'll knock out a wall upstairs and put an addition on. My headcanon is he built an extra bedroom, which Kurt snatches up. He'd love the chance to redecorate, and this one has an attached bathroom. And Finn is in the basement. It also adds to why they never see each other, assuming Dalton's not a boarding school, because they're on separate floors. I'm willing to believe that they remodeled the kitchen while they were at it. If it is a whole new house, it's not a crazy leap for me, as they'd have equity from the Hummel and the Hudson house as down payment, and I could understand them wanting a fresh start. As to how they had to cancel their honeymoon for Dalton, as someone who went to a snobby private school, a lot of times they want payment up front for the year, which could easily be $10,000, $25,000 to $40,000 for a boarding school or more. Even if they're rich, that's a lot of cash to have sitting in a bank account to quickly spend, especially after throwing a big wedding and remodeling and or moving, even if they just sold one or both houses. In conclusion, Bert Hummel's mechanic shop must be very successful. A quick Google search says auto shop owners make an average of $100,000 a year, which is pretty good for Lima, Ohio. Good for him. Yours always, Miranda from Michigan. P.S. This episode was always one of my favorites as well. I used to rewatch it all the time. It's peak Glee for me, and I'm so happy other people had the same experience. Miranda, I really appreciate all of this research you put into this.
Yes.
My biggest takeaway is, why did the Hummel House 1.0 have 1.5 more bathrooms than it had bedrooms? That is some terrible architectural planning. Because Kurt's sleeping in the basement.
Yeah, maybe he wanted, maybe he like, I don't know. When I was a kid, I like we had like a game room, and I wanted to live in that room, but it wasn't like an official room because it didn't have a closet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like,
but it was like bigger. You know what I mean?
And the basement was probably like large. But then Finn has to share the basement, which like, did Burgess really want them to bond? That Finn was like, but you have two other empty bedrooms in this house. And he's like, nah, that's where I put all my extra tires.
Yeah. We got a few messages this week that were like, hey, did you guys not remember that they said that they were going to buy a new house? And I don't remember it that way. I remember him saying that he'll knock out a wall and put an addition on. I don't remember. How did that happen?
Okay. I am watching FERT right now.
Okay, cool.
I have the phone in my hand.
Let me hear it.
To going straight from the source, we're going to find out what exactly Bert says to Finn about them moving in together. Because a lot of people were
like, you guys are silly. You don't even watch this show. And I was like, do I watch this show? I don't.
Remember how we find out in this episode that Bert proposed to Carol in the room where they first met while class is going on?
Honestly, if that happened in one of my classes, I'd cry my eyes out. That sounds so exciting.
Okay, here we go. We're getting close.
Hey, don't worry. I'm already looking for a bigger house, one where everybody's going to get their own rooms.
Oh, okay.
There, you heard it. Got from it. Mike O'Malley's mouth himself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a new house.
Looking for a new house. Got it.
It's never verified that he found a bigger house, but yeah. I think it's safe to assume that he found a bigger house.
Okay, cool. There's just so many good things happening in that scene that's not the part I remember. I remember the autumnal colors and the Waikiki and the guest stars on Lost. I love Bert Hummel! Alrighty. Thank you so much, Miranda. Thanks for doing research for us. You know us. I don't even know how to do research. Up next, we have a voicemail from Holland.
Hi, Lena and Ian. It is Holland, any pronouns, from Massachusetts. I have some thoughts on Blame It on the Alcohol. I've not been able to listen to the podcast episode yet because I listened to the podcast with my mom and she is busy this week. But I have some thoughts. So one, Finn says he's a designated driver, right? I know that Kurt isn't also drinking, but I just have some questions about that. How many drunk teenagers is Finn putting into his car? Who's staying at Rachel's house? What is happening with that? I'm very curious. Secondly, I know this happened in a non-linear timeline in season 5, but whatever. They have a clear moral in this episode, about underage drinking. Later seasons, I'm thinking of one specific episode, they drink like monsters. What is happening? Also, you mentioned Community before. I don't know if you talked about this, but what are your thoughts on the Community parody episode of Glee? Also, like, if there was a crossover episode, who do you think would be friends? Okay, bye.
Holland, maybe a world record for the most information. I know, literally. Put into a 1 minute voicemail. Truly admirable.
When I was taking notes on this voicemail, I was like, wow. So many topics to cover like, in 1 minute.
How did you squeeze all that in? That's impressive.
Honestly.
First and foremost, okay. The Finn clown car of it all did not occur to me. There are... Okay, so we know that Blaine... Uh-huh. Wait, no, because Blaine didn't sleep at Rachel's house. He had to get back to the Hummel house somehow.
Yes.
So we have... Rachel doesn't count. She
lives there, yeah.
So we have, if I counted correctly, 11... drunk teenagers, mm-hmm. Who need somewhere to go, and
yes.
Two sober people to take them those places. I guess Kurt could have driven some people home. I always kind of got the feeling that he just went over with Finn and they like brought one car.
Yeah.
I like to imagine it as like the Snake Juice episode of Parks and Rec in season 3, where they have like Jerry tied to the roof of the car and like Tom is squashed in the trunk, that just Finn like pulls up in his in Carol's minivan and he's like, Brittany, you're flexible. You're going in the trunk. Like, Puck, I'm strapping you to the roof. Like, we're just going to make this work.
Someone hold on to Artie in the chair.
Seriously. Artie, I'm tying a jump rope from your chair to the car. I'll just drive slow.
Yeah, you can swing on the back. Hear me out. My favorite part of any party is like when things start winding down and people start like the sober people start like trying to like divvy out who's driving where and like trying to like drive people at the end of the night. I would pay absolute cash money to see Finn like try to wrangle all these children and put them in his car. I would pay money. It's my favorite part of any party.
Let's be real. Do you think any of these kids wanted to sleep at Rachel Berry's house?
No. No.
No. I guarantee they were like, please, Finn, I will like jog alongside the car. Like, yeah. I cannot spend the night
here. You just gotta watch me.
You just gotta make sure I don't put myself in danger.
You gotta make sure I don't fall asleep on my back. I love that so much. Okay, next point of the of Holland's message. What did we think of Community and Glee's Community's Glee parody episode? I love that episode so much. I think about it all the time. I always like whenever I do like a cutesy voice, I always feel like I'm doing Annie's like, does a star go on a tree or the house? I don't remember what she says.
Boopy doopy doop boop sex. I love that number.
I know. I also love Britta at the end. And I just think, oh my God, Donald Glover is my whole world. So I love to hear him sing. My gosh, I love it so much.
Because I am Jehovah's most secret witness. So I might dedicate my whole life to Christmas.
Taron Killam, is that his last? Is that his name?
Yeah, it's Taron Killam.
Yeah, oh yeah. My God, it's incredible. Honestly, put him in this show. I want to see Taron Killam as Will Schuster, please. I think he'd be better.
So for those who don't know, Community was a sitcom on NBC. It's on Netflix. You should all watch it. The third season's Christmas episode is a direct parody of Glee. Community makes shots at Glee consistently,
all the time. Yeah.
Because they both started airing in 2009, so they were both like in competition with each other, and Glee was so successful and Community was always on the cusp of getting canceled. And also, I'm pretty sure someone on Twitter told us that they filmed on the same lot.
Oh yeah.
And so like the actors would run into each other all the time. But yeah, the Christmas episode in season 3 is a direct parody of Glee with Taron Killam playing the community college's Glee Club director.
Yeah.
But the Glee Club has recently died coming back from regionals because their bus drove off a cliff. And then you find out, actually, no spoilers. But it is very funny.
I love it so much.
I love that show. I love that episode.
And I love the idea that like they're all trying to not join Glee Club, but it's almost like a disease that they all catch. They're like, we can't not join.
It is treated as if they're all getting brainwashed. Where
it's
it is
so
like
funny.
Every time one of them joins the Glee Club, the other members are like, no, they got you too. And like when Britta walks up to Jeff in the hallway and he starts singing and she screams. But the funniest part of the episode to me is when Britta finally joins the Glee Club. So all of them have now been won over. They're all in the Glee Club. They're doing the Christmas performance. And Britta comes out to sing her big solo.
But the whole thing is they don't want Britta to sing because Britta's a bad singer.
Yeah. And so then like someone convinces Britta that she should sing so that she can like accidentally take down the Glee Club by doing
and, like,
a bad job.
And break the spell. Yeah.
And so she comes out, like, so excited to sing, comes out and sings, Christmas time! And then it just cuts to the dean in the audience looking at the program and going, oh, Britta's in this? Britta Perry is one of the funniest characters in the history
Britta's
of television. I love
her
so much.
Would you say that she's your favorite character on Community?
It's hard because I truly love every character on Community for very different reasons.
Yeah.
But Britta Perry is my favorite of the Greendale Seven. I find her so funny.
I think my favorite character is no doubt, Dean Pelton. He is the best to me. I love him so much.
One time, my brother texted me just out of the blue and said, my wife and I are rewatching Community. Did you base your sense of fashion in high school off of Abed Nadir? Because literally it is like verbatim what I wore is what he wears in that show.
Oh, cool. Oh my gosh. I love that show so much.
Let's talk about a Glee crossover. Yeah.
Glee crossover. Who would be friends? What do you think? Off the bat, what are your first impressions on who would be friends with who?
I think that Rachel and Annie would hate each other.
I think so.
I do not think they get along. I think they'd be mortal enemies. They're way too similar.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I love Rachel Berry, because I love Annie Edison. And frankly, Rachel Berry and Annie Edison are two sides of the same coin. They're very similar.
Maybe that's the plot of the whole episode, is that Annie and Rachel meet each other. They both talk about how much they hate each other. And like, while simultaneously doing the exact same thing.
You're the same person. Yeah.
And they dress the same. Like, they both show up in like penny loafers and stockings and sweaters. Mm-hmm. Like, ugh, can you believe what Annie was wearing? Can you believe what Rachel was wearing? That'd be funny.
All right. Who else we got?
Who would be friends with Jeff? I feel like Santana would like single out Jeff pretty quick.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think Brittany and Abed would have a really good time together.
I think Abed would be fascinated by Brittany.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they would both just like dissect the people around them.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Who do you think Troy would be friends with? I think Troy, my immediate thought is Finn.
They're both jocks.
Yeah.
But I don't really
Sam?
I see Sam more than I see Finn. Yeah, because okay. Troy's a huge nerd.
Yeah, totally. Oh my gosh, they would do just impressions the whole time.
Mm-hmm. So we got Troy and Sam.
Maybe Shirley would hang out with Will.
Ugh, I don't want to do that to Shirley.
I know, I love Shirley so much.
I care about her too much.
Maybe Shirley would hang out with Tina.
Yeah, I could see that. I think that Britta would try and single out Quinn and point out how, like, regressive Quinn is.
Yes, absolutely.
Realizing how similar she and Quinn actually are.
Mm-hmm.
That she would try and point out all the ways that Quinn is, like, feeding into the patriarchy and how her religious views are so oppressive and all of this stuff. It would be an Annie and Rachel situation where it'd be like, no, but actually you and Quinn are, like, very similar.
Yeah. I also feel like Jeff would try and hang out with Quinn. Let's pretend for this thought experiment that they're all adults. That they're all adults.
Because it gets way too dicey if they're still in high school. Especially with Jeff.
But I feel like Jeff, if Quinn was an adult, would like be like, hey, Quinn, what's up? Because like, what else is Jeff for?
I also just want to see Sue and Dean Pelton in a room together.
Oh my gosh, I would love that so much.
Mm-hmm.
I feel Sue like that's Dean what it's Pelton. Like to hang out with you and I is Sue and Dean Pelton.
Also, I think Sue and Pierce could be interesting.
Oh, yeah. I think Sue and Pierce, I think, is the natural pairing. Like, go-between, because they're both like older and conservative.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite Pierce moment is when he steals all the vaccines.
Pierce, you can't take all those vaccines or for the children's hospital.
I'll be a living God! I gotta rewatch Community.
Watch Community on Netflix. It's so good.
It's the best show ever.
All right. Thank you, Holland, for giving us an excuse to dedicate so much of this episode to Community.
Oh my gosh. This is the Community long con.
For real.
Up next, we have an email from Emily.
All right. Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Emily, she, her pronouns, and I just finished listening to your podcast on Blame It on the Alcohol and have a couple thoughts. First thing is, I went to high school in Southern California, and we had a week-long event called Every 15 Minutes that was mostly dedicated to drunk driving. It was the most traumatic experience of my high school life. The statistic they were trying to show us is that every 15 minutes, someone is killed by a drunk driver, and over the intercom, they would play a sound of a tolling bell every 15 minutes throughout the day, signifying someone died. Then, someone dressed as the legit Grim Reaper would come from class to class and take a student that he had chosen previously from teacher recommendation, and they would be proclaimed dead.
That student stayed at a hotel from that point on, getting their families involved in the event too, and would come to school and couldn't talk to anyone, could only walk around the campus and haunt everyone. The second to the last day of the week, there would be an assembly out in the parking lot, and they would bring in two completely wrecked cars.
Oh my God.
Some of the students would create a scenario where they were driving drunk and got in a crash, and some would die on site, some would die in the hospital after, and the driver was thrown in jail. Then the last day of the week, there would be an assembly where all the friends and family of the dead students would write eulogies for them, and the whole school would have a funeral. Like I said, traumatic. Second thing, it's not surprising all of the people in the honky-tonk bar know the line dance. I grew up with rednecks, and I swear I'm the only one who missed the gene that holds knowing line dances. No one gets taught how to. They all just know. Love the podcast. You both really make my entire week better at a boring desk job. Kisses, Emily. P.S. Please make a Buffy podcast. I'm still obsessed with Buffy and need people to talk about it with.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So did you do anything like this, Ian?
No. And we got a lot of messages about every 15 minutes this
week.
Oh
my gosh. So many people.
Emily,
had
it was not just your school just like this. At all.
Yeah. Another person, their school called it Shattered Dreams. And I've heard that a few times. Yeah. So many people had this. I don't remember anything like this happening at my school, but I do remember one day they would take kids out of class and then like, they would wear a t-shirt that like had an X on it, like to like signify this kind of thing. It was not a week-long thing at all. No Grim Reaper, no hotel. That is so traumatizing. Oh my gosh.
They're really going all out on the production value.
The scared straight ideology is so interesting to me, you know? I mean, well, don't drive drunk at all. I get it. But also, scary. Also, get the families involved? Whoa, too much.
I mean, we are no, what's the word I'm looking for? We are no authorities on to best communicate to teenagers by any means.
We're both barely not teenagers.
I don't even know how to communicate with myself. So, let alone teenagers. But what you described, Lena, at your school, where like every 15 minutes, like someone got called out of class and then had an X on their t-shirt, is like harrowing enough.
I think so.
That it would like sit with you and it would kind of like have the gravity of the situation sink in without like traumatizing you for the rest of your life. The production value of like the Grim Reaper is
theater.
There.
Who is the Grim
and,
Reaper?
Like,
can I
audition? People's parents are giving eulogies for their pretend dead children. I mean, once again.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
It seems incredibly ambitious.
Yeah. I know that that's a tactic in like some rehabs as well, that they'll like have like family members come and like give a eulogy for you as if you had like passed away from like some sort of like drug overdose or like drunk driving accident. So I know that this is like a pretty like people have done this kind of stuff a lot for a lot of different things. So just so scary. So scary.
That's terrifying.
I know.
However, hear me out.
Hearing you.
I would love to be taken out of school to go stay in a hotel for a few days.
Listen, first of all, I love the drama. Second of all, I love the attention. Third of all, I would love to I feel like it would be less traumatizing for you to like go out of class and like hang out in the library all day.
And like, then you get to like see what your funeral would be like. Yeah. Very scary. But also if you're one of the people chosen for that job, like I wouldn't complain that I was chosen for that role.
No. Well, so much to unpack here. Thank you all for sharing your experiences with your drunk driving assemblies. That is the craziest thing of my whole life. Up next, we have a voicemail from a different Emily.
From the UK. She mentioned it in the in the subject line. So, international listener.
International listener!
Hi, my name's Emily, she, her. So, like Ian, I'm also teetotal. I'm 22 years old and I've never been drunk. I'm not got any religious reason or anything. I don't really like the taste. And also I have anxiety about hangovers and emetophobia and stuff. But I kind of want to start drinking, at least a little bit, because I want to be able to go to parties and not hate it. And also because I've got quite a stressful job now and I was thinking maybe if I drink, I'd be less stressed. So I guess this is a question for Lena because you're the one who takes the kids to the liquor store. What alcohol do I start with? How do I do this? Where do I get it from? How do I take care of myself when I'm drinking for the first time?
Okay, Emily. Now, let's cover this base. You don't have to drink. It's totally fine if you don't want to. But if you do want to, let's talk about some things that I would suggest drinking and also ways to like keep yourself safe. Number one, drink so much water all day long. A lot of people I know, like in college parties, will like not eat so they can get drunk faster. No. You better eat because that is what's going to make you super, super, super drunk really fast and then make you black out because you don't have any freaking sustenance in you and you don't want that. So you want to eat. You want to drink lots of water. My main thing is like drink as much water, if not more water than you're drinking alcohol if you're at a party. And that's like the way I find not to like get hungover. Also, like the sugar makes you really hungover. Let's talk about things that I would suggest drinking. My go-to drink, like simple, easy to make, is like a vodka cranberry. I know, like a lot, like that's like a typical like white sorority girl drink, but whatever. It's delicious. It's just like cranberry juice and vodka, and a lot of people put like lime in it, but it's simple and it's like kind of good, and you can control how much like alcohol you put in if you like don't like the taste of alcohol. Do you know what I mean? What do you think, Ian?
No, I don't know what you mean, but I trust your opinion on it.
I'm no expert. I feel I'm not qualified, Emily. I'm sorry if this wasn't helpful. I also don't recommend drinking by yourself. I don't think that's fun. I think it's only fun when you're with other people. You know what I mean? I also think that's when it gets sad. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I can't validate. You keep coming agree. To me you could just as, agree. If, as if you want me to be like, yes, and also, I cannot speak to any of this. I'm sure you are correct.
Yeah, me neither. Well, you guys, I'm no expert on anything. That's just what I would say to do. Drink lots of water. And also, I love an electrolyte drink in the morning. Some like Pedialyte or like a Gatorade or a Powerade. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, thanks for your input, Ian. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I did a lot of research.
I know you did. Emily, thanks so much for your question. I'm sorry if that wasn't helpful. But also, don't drink and drive. Be safe. Trust yourself. You can do it. Yes. Okay.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Up next, we have an email from Daniel.
Hi, Ian and Lena. My name is Daniel, he, him. I'm from Mexico.
International listener!
And I'm a mini gleek.
Me too, Daniel. Oh my God.
Let's hear Ian for us tiny and compact gleeks out there. I'd like to hear from you
mini
guys.
Gleeks rise.
I just wanted to talk to you about the Spanish test Mr. Shu was correcting drunk during the episode because I discovered something I think is kind of interesting. We know they all got A pluses, and by Will's comments, they don't deserve it.
I paused on the three tests shown, and in each one, we can only see questions 1 through 4 and 8 through 10. I was a little bit surprised to find out all three people got 4 questions right out of the 7 we can see. The first person, named Telly Kazukas, got a happy face, A+. And they had questions 2, 3, 4, and 9 correct. The second person, named Mark Ballou, is the one Will says, valiant effort, A+. He had questions 1, 8, 9, and 10 correct. He also misspelled quattro and wrote quattro with a Q. Finally, the third person, we can't see their name, but when Will is grading Mark's exam, the one below is named Charlotte Gall ... can't see the end of the last name, so I assume it's her test. She got nice try A+, and questions 1, 2, 3, and 4 correct. So based on what we know, none of them probably deserve an A+, but they do all deserve the same grade. Mm-hmm. Also in the same scene, Will's contact list is very weird. For the whole Emma Sue confusion to happen, I know their contacts must be next to each other. But why does he only have 4 work contacts? Principal Figgins, front office, Emma Pillsbury, Sue Sylvester. Not one of them being his close friend, yeah. Coach Beast. Then under X, he has someone named Darwin Burr X220, which I think is just strange. And he also has someone saved as Zach. Maybe a Zach Woodley reference. That's the choreographer, everyone. Who knows? Love you guys and love the podcast, Daniel. Daniel, this is the kind of hard-hitting investigative journalism we are looking for. The amount of research put into this email, I am obsessed with. Mm-hmm. Darwin Burr X220 is clearly a robot that Will knows and is in his contact list.
Absolutely.
I do think that it is very possible that Beast's number is in Will's phone just under their name, and that Emma only got moved to work after they broke up. Mm-hmm. And he was like, ooh, I should like make it more professional. I'll put work before her name so it's less weird that I still have my ex's number.
Daniel, thank you so much for this message. This was fun.
Honestly, can't wait until we see Telly Kazukas, Mark Ballou, or Charlotte Gall on the show. Where are they?
They should be us. We should play them on the show.
I'm Charlotte Gall. Mark Ballou. Who are you? Great. This is Mark Ballou and Charlotte Gall.
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 Daniel,
dot, dot, dot.
Thank you so much. Up next, we have a voicemail from Danielle.
Hey there, sexy lady. It's something I really, really want to say to you.
Okay, that's enough of that. That was payback for the whole baby likes his soup bit from a couple weeks ago. That's right, I didn't forget. Anyway, my name's Danielle, my pronouns are she, her, and I'm from Ohio, unfortunately. First of all, I just want to say that you guys are the reason that I'm now binging Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I don't know whether I should thank you or punch you in the face. But yeah, it's a great show, and Sarah Michelle Gellar can slay my vampire anytime. I'm so sorry. Anyway, I just wanted to ask if Glee could do a crossover with any show. It doesn't even have to be one that's currently on the air. What show would you want them to do a crossover with? What would the plot be, and what songs would they sing? I know it's a lot to ask of you, but I believe in you, and I hope you have a great day. Anyway, that's all. Bye.
Everyone, you heard it here first. We are now referring to our genitalia as vampire. Let's get this going.
Danielle, thanks for believing in me. I just think that's nice. The way she ended that voicemail was nice. All right, Ian. Do you have a crossover over episode planned for us?
I am going to cross Glee over with Game of Thrones, a show I have never seen.
Yeah.
But can you imagine?
Yeah, I can. Absolutely.
The Glee Club is on a bus to Nationals. They get sucked into a portal to Westeros. They are in the middle of whatever the heck war is happening in Game of Thrones. Did I mention I've never seen it? And the whole episode is just them being killed off one by one. But of course, breaking into song. Yeah, they in the middle of Battle of the Bastards. I don't know what that is, but I'm sure it's funny to people who do. And we got like, Hit Me With Your Best Shot is in there. Another One Bites the Dust is in there. Like Eye of the Tiger, all of the classic like try come and get me like I'm incredible songs, but then they just keep dying.
Yeah.
And that's the whole episode.
Yeah, totally. I love that. That's a really good.
But you know who wins? No, hear me out.
Who?
It is the Battle of Winterfell. Is that the one with the Ice Walkers?
Ice Walkers. Yeah.
So what are they called? White Walkers? White Walkers.
White Walkers.
You guys, I've never seen the show.
You
Let's
should.
All calm down.
You should.
And I do know some things, which is what we're going to find out. The what is his name? The White King? That sounds a little racist.
The Night King.
The Night King. The Night King is coming. He's gonna kill everyone. A small girl comes up and she goes to stab him and he stops her arm and she drops the knife. She catches it with her other hand, stabs him in the stomach. Camera pans. Is it Arya Stark? No. It's Tina Cohen-Chang. She is the only member of the New Directions who lives, and she kills the Night King.
Dude, that's incredible.
And screw Bran, she takes over as whatever the heck Bran becomes at the end. That season 8 of Game of Thrones, it is a crossover with Glee.
Sits on the Iron Throne.
But doesn't the Iron Throne get destroyed?
Uh-huh.
So does Bran just like sit on the molten
Well, he's just now like the
pile?
King. He's
oh,
just the
great.
King.
Yeah. Well, then Tina just metaphorically sits on the Iron Throne at the end.
Sorry. Mm-hmm.
That's my crossover. What's yours?
Honestly, there's no even point in me doing anything other than that because that was perfect. For someone who knows nothing about Game of Thrones, you sure made a good crossover episode.
I was on the internet when season 8 was airing and everyone was loudly complaining about it.
Oh,
I picked up some stuff.
Some stuff. Danielle, thanks so much for your voicemail. Up next, we have an email from Emily.
Continuing the March of Emily's, which is the overarching theme of this minisode.
We've got three messages from Emily's this week.
And I spoiler alert, our next message after this is from a fourth Emily.
No way.
Before we get to Emily number four, here's Emily number three with an email.
I didn't even notice that. I put these emails together. Oh my gosh.
I mean, they're all different people. Just Emily is the name of the week. Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Emily number three, she, her. Long time listener, first time emailer. Like many others have said, I remember this being one of my favorite episodes of Glee. Anyways, about the episode. I totally agreed that the talk between Beast and Will was super over the top after school specially. However, I think a nice line was when Beast said something that, like, it is impossible to make kids stop drinking. There's just an importance to educate them about it. That's something, at least in my experience, you don't really hear. Mostly, it's just the scared straight stuff that doesn't really work. Wait. Huh? I haven't heard anything about that.
Like, when they bring a Grim Reaper to your school and make you live in a hotel for a week?
That doesn't happen. Back to Emily number three. I liked the admission that kids drink. I feel that topic is usually super taboo and mostly ignored rather than discussed. Like, I feel like in other episodes on other series, it's strictly anti-alcohol and drinking is bad always instead of trying to teach actual responsibility. I don't know, I just thought it was something interesting that occurred that I feel like is never discussed, especially in media. I'm not saying Glee does it super well either. I will be honest, I'm not that big of a drinker. I never really liked the taste, and I don't super get the appeal, so that could also skew my view. I'm obviously not saying we should promote drinking in teens, but I think it's better to educate rather than scare. Inform people, make better choices. I hope the small email wasn't too after-school specially either. Anyways, love the podcast. I'm currently in isolation during the last week of college classes, and it's really been helping me get through the week. I hope you two are doing well. All the love. Emily number three.
Emily.
Number three.
I love this. I think it's a, I just love this take. You know, it is really taboo to think about like teenagers drinking. And so it's like put off to the side and then made to feel like super shameful. And like, yes, like we should be like informing people about like the dangers of drinking for sure. But like, I just agree with Emily number three so much. This is a great email. Thank you so much.
Well, I don't know if anyone's ever heard of a musical called Into the Woods. It's certainly not a show I've ever brought up before.
No, me but neither.
One of my favorite messages in that show is essentially, if you just try and protect your child from the dangers of the world by pretending that those dangers don't exist or refusing to expose them to them at all, then what you're actually doing is just making sure that when your child inevitably comes in contact with those dangers, they are ill prepared and it will likely end poorly for them. That
no
instead
one
of like
can prepare them for the world.
Even I, how could I who loved you as you were?
How Anyways. Could I have shielded you from her or them?
Anyways. Just pretending that these things don't happen and they never happen and you can go all like not come in contact with them at all is so unrealistic and not helpful. And I do think you are correct, Emily, number three, that it is nice that Glee takes a much more like educational approach as opposed to just like, and don't drink ever. And we're not going to say anything more about it.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to Emily number four. See what they have to add to the conversation. All right, Emily number four, we are going to crown the best Emily at the end of this episode.
So stay tuned, you guys.
So I really hope you make a strong case for yourself.
Did you hear about, like, was it the Battle of the Ryans? Was that the name?
Yes.
That
oh my
is
gosh.
So cool. And like a five-year-old one.
Incredible. For those
so
who don't know.
I was so excited to hear about that.
Some guy named Ryan set up like last week, just in the middle of Nebraska, I think. He planned it like a year ago that everyone who is named Ryan was invited to battle for who was the best Ryan. And they had like pool noodles and they would fight and they had like a bunch of competitions and a five-year-old won as the best Ryan.
Yeah.
So this Minnesota is in fact the Battle of the Emilies. It was a surprise. Any Emilies that didn't get to enter were very sorry. But anyways, here's our final contender, Emily number four.
Hi, Ian and Lena. It's Emily, she, her pronouns, and as a bisexual Kurt fan, I wanted to weigh in on this specific biphobia plotline. I think my issue with this plotline is that you don't actually see any change in Kurt. Even though the exchange with Blaine is very much in Blaine's favour, what upsets me about it and what makes me think it is biphobic and that Glee is biphobic is that you don't see him acknowledge his biphobia or the fact that he actually said some nasty things. And I think if Glee had had a positive representation of bimasculinity, something it doesn't have, something it could have and should have had in Sam Evans, my himbo king, I think it would have been so much better. I mean, Sam could have come out as bisexual and Kurt could have been accepting of him or something like that. I do think it's in Kurt's character to be biphobic at this point because it's very common within the LGBT community and there's a lot of hatred towards bi men, but I just wish he'd grown. Bye!
I agree. I think it's not, I wouldn't put it past Kurt to be biphobic. But I completely agree with Emily number three that like, I think the point
number
would have...
Four.
Oh my gosh. Well, I do agree with Emily number three. I do agree with Emily number four that the point would have been stronger if like he had any sort of like deal with, you know, any sort of change in his like biphobia. Absolutely. But what can we expect of this show? Not much.
That's true. With more thoughts on Glee's poor handling of Kurt's biphobia, we go to friend of the podcast, first ever voicemailer, Dia. Hey, Lena and Ian, it's Dia here, your first ever voicemailer, in case you forgot.
How
could
I
we
forget?
Ever forget?
I remember the night that I got her first voicemail, and it was the night of the election. Do you remember that? Yeah, it was the night of the election, and I was so stressed, so stressed. And I thought for sure we would have results by then. And the only thing that brought me any comfort was listening to Dia's voicemail.
From India, and my pronouns are she, her.
International listener!
Okay, I have a lot of opinions about Glee's biphobia as a bisexual myself. there actually is a lot of biphobia among lesbian and gay people, and I think that's the issue Glee was trying to tackle. But as most of the issues, they did it poorly. Kurt is vaguely called out for his behavior, but in the end, it turns out he was basically right, and Blaine announces himself 100% gay. I have no problem with characters exploring their sexuality, but there's a hypocrisy here that suggests bisexuality is a cop-out, a way to avoid the ramifications of actually being sexually attracted to members of the opposite sex. Blaine's rebuttal was not nearly enough to counter Kurt. I have watched the show with my heterosexual friend, and she genuinely believed Kurt when he said those things because it was the first time she had seen bisexuality represented in media, and she asked me about it later, which just shows how this episode could form someone's opinion on bisexuality. I maybe could have forgiven the writers if the biphobia was only present in this episode, but that certainly isn't the case. Another biphobic thing that Glee did was making Brittany, its only bi character, so sexually promiscuous, which is a very big stereotype about bisexual people. Of course, there is no issue with being sexually promiscuous, but this is just further encouraging the stereotype. In my experience, media doesn't really have a lot of bi representation, so it really hurts when they mess it up like this. Sorry for ranting so much, I just had to get my thoughts out. I am loving the podcast, thank you for making my day better. Hope you're both safe and happy. Dia.
Thank you, Dia. I am. Yeah, man, this show sucks with the biphobia. And I feel like even, like, I watch a lot of shows from early aughts and around this time, like early 2010s, and like a bunch of shows. I think like society's problem with bisexual people is like rampant. And especially like with men, it's like, oh, they're just like on a stepping stone to being gay. And like by women, it's like, oh, they just like are straight. It's the weirdest thing in the whole world. It's not exclusive to Glee at all, but like, yeah, Glee is so bad at it, especially for like a show that claims to be so good with the representation. Like, what the hell? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, Dia, with what you said. I also agree with Emily, number four, what mm-hmm. she said. You know,
yeah,
it's just I do still really like the scene of them in the lima bean. I think it is very well written, and I think
yeah,
Blaine's rebuttal is very well written. But yeah, not only in that episode does Kurt never actually learn that he was in the wrong, but he also never explicitly never learns does. That he was in the wrong.
Exactly, because like I would understand if Kurt didn't learn this episode, and that was just like kind of a character flaw of Kurt's, is that like. He doesn't think bisexuality is real. And then he learns later, but that truly never happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Dia. It's so good to hear from you. Up next, and it's our last one. Last, but certainly not least, we have a message from Leah Michelle? Question mark. I love making that joke.
She goes by her middle name, which is Emily.
Yeah.
Hey, my name's Leah, not of Leah Michelle fame. I go by she, her pronouns. And my school just recently went back in full time. It's been very, very stressful, but I've been listening to your podcast just to get me through the day in school. And honestly, it's been helping so much because I don't feel as alone. I like feel like I'm with some friends. Anyways, I just want to thank you guys so much for existing, I guess. But yeah, I love your podcast. Bye.
I love getting messages like this. Leah, I'm so sorry that school is stressful right now, and I'm sure a bunch of people right now, it's like the beginning of May, it's a really stressful time in school. I'm glad you feel less alone, and that is like all the thanks that I could ever receive from doing this podcast. Like, I just do it like to hang out with my buddy Ian, but like the fact that people like feel like they're our friends and feel less alone is the best thing in the whole world. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You guys are the light of my freaking life. I love it so much. So thank you for that so sweet message, Leah. I love hearing that.
Love you guys.
Yeah.
All right, well, to bring it on home, we're gonna play the relative pitch game, baby. Oh,
I haven't even prepared.
Do like, you normally when I prepare?
Lost, no. Listen, last week when I lost, I was like, I'm going to have listened to all the songs this week for sure. I have not.
All right. Well, we got My Headband. Safe to say, neither of us are doing My Headband.
No, I can't pull it up on the iTunes.
Then we got Don't You Want Me. Mm-hmm. Then Blame It on the Alcohol. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
and TikTok.
Okay.
Do you want to go first or do you want to ask first?
You went first last time, so how about I go first this week? Like, first singing.
Okay.
I don't know one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. Don't ask me to sing it.
You're going to do Tick and Also Talk by Key Dollar Sign Ha.
I think it's wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy. Grab my glasses. I'm out the door. I'm trying to hit this city before I leave. Brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. Because when I leave for the night, I ain't coming back. I'm talking pedicure on our toes, toes.
That is exactly what you just did.
Is it?
But pause it. The beginning of that song is so speak singy.
I know, I'm sorry.
That it's hard to find a note.
Maybe we should do a different one.
Well, you could also just do the chorus.
Okay, well.
I know, but you have just heard it.
Yeah.
That's why I was trying to find the note that you did on Toes, Toes. And I think I lost it. Hold up.
I'm sorry.
I have no idea. I lost the note that you
did. Let's do a different song. Sorry.
Here's the issue. I only know one other song in this episode. So you have to do Blame It on the Alcohol then.
Okay, fine.
Because I don't know Blame It on the Alcohol.
Okay, fine. Fine, fine, fine. I'll look up the lyrics.
I do think you got TikTok right, though.
See what we could be if we press fast forward. Just when we're around another one. Feeling on a cup, but feeling on your butt. What? You don't even care now. I was unaware how fine you was before my buzz set in. My buzz set in. I think it's see what we could be if we press fast forward.
Okay, you think the see what we could be is an A flat.
This is Ian from the future. She definitely sang a G and not an A flat.
This could be different too because it's a Glee version.
Yeah, just try and find the Glee version. Don't do the Jamie Foxx
version. Oh, no, not at all. I'm just wondering if I was singing the...
Oh, the Jamie Foxx version.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's because that's the problem I had last week is the JB freaked me out. I don't think...
That is a G flat. You are a step off.
Ian from the future, a half step off.
Freaking hell.
Do the Jamie Foxx version, though. See if you got that one right. The Glee version and the Jamie Foxx version are in the same key. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my ancestors.
You got knocked out of alignment. What's going on?
I don't know. What is the other song that you know you should sing?
It's Don't You Want Me. And I'm sorry. Okay, I truly don't know the songs in this episode at all.
It makes sense. You don't drink.
You were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar. Oh, that's so flat. When I found you. That's what I think it is. So,
okay,
so I think it is C to A.
Okay.
In a cocktail bar.
God damn it.
I think the Knatzer line has smiled upon my house recently. They have just shifted over. So thank you, Lena's ancestors.
Well, hell. Thanks so much for listening to our 20th minisode.
Oh my gosh. Can you believe we've been doing the minisodes for 2 decades already?
Literally.
That's crazy.
I can't even believe.
I was 5 and you were 4 when we started. We've changed so much.
I know. I don't even remember who I was when I was 4.
If you want to celebrate our minisodes reaching the legal drinking age in the United States, or, you know, maybe you have some thoughts on the Glee episode Sexy,
wouldn't
you can send
in
a voicemail.
Wouldn't it have been so good if this was the 21st one?
Right? It would have been perfect. Let's retroactively do a minisode on like one of the season one episodes that we didn't cover.
I mean, we could,
so
maybe
this
we
is
could
our
21st. Like, is the Grinch included in our minisodes?
It's not. Mm? It's just a bonus. So if you count not the right. Grinch special, this is our 21st. you can send us a voicemail at anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. You can send us an email at recoveringgleek@gmail.com. And now to announce the best Emily. We did have a lot of Emily's enter.
I'm so nervous for you
guys. We've put
it
into deep consideration. The judges have been deliberating.
and they have come to the conclusion that the best Emily is Emily Blunt. Thank you so much for all of the Emilys that entered.
I thought you were just going to really say Emily.
We really appreciate you. Oh, honestly, that's funnier. The best Emily is Emily.
Yay, Emily!
Your bit was funnier than my bit. Congratulations, Emily!
You just love Mary Poppins.
That's true. Mary Poppins Returns made me cry three different times when I saw it in theaters.
You never cry.
Does it also negate the message of the first movie about the banking system? Yes. And does that bother me? Yes. But also, did it make me emotional to see an old-fashioned movie musical in the year 2019?
Absolutely.
100%.
100%.
Or 2018. When was that? Who cares? All right.
Well, it must have been 2018. Because you did the Mary Poppins thing in 2019. You did a
right. So it was 2018.
Medley, pardon me.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, love you guys.
Bye.
Check out our episode on Wednesday. Goodbye.
Here's a mini kiss on your mini forehead. Mwah.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.